You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, Hoops heads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Friday, December 29th. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. You'll have to forgive any extraneous noise you hear. My neighbors are playing James Brown. I love James Brown, but I'm not really into him right now because he's kind of disrupting my flow a little bit. But I don't care. I hope you all were watching basketball last night. If not, you missed out on two incredible comebacks. The Rockets blew a 26-point lead in Boston against the Celtics, and the Celtics came back to win that one by one or two. I can't remember, but it was a crazy third and fourth quarter. And then the Portland Trail Blazers came back against the 76ers and managed to win that game by seven. Two just great games. And it's really what basketball is all about. So, you know, I hope you didn't miss out. That was a really important loss for the Rockets for us. They've now lost, I believe, four straight after a really incredible start to the season, and the Warriors are now firmly in first place in the Western Conference and in the league, as it should be. Thanks for joining me today. We're going to preview the game tonight. The Warriors are playing the Charlotte Hornets tonight for the second time this season. Once again, no Steph, but he might be available tomorrow, Saturday, against the Grizzlies. In the second segment, we're going to go down the Reddit hole. And in the third segment, we'll go around the NBA and see what's going on with the rest of the league, starting with the Rockets, who are floundering and continuing on to the other really good teams out there. But first, I want to talk about my own personal media. I just released a piece on Forbes.com about Deion Sanders trying to raise $21 million to help the poorest communities in Dallas. He's partnered with Stand Together, a Koch Network subsidiary, and he talked to me for about 25 minutes about what he's doing in Dallas to really help things going on and how he got to this point in his life. So that was a fun piece to write. As usual, you can find all my media on Forbes.com. I also have been featured on BleacherReport.com. I have a blog on Medium that I'm trying to get started back up. And you can get in touch with me via email at AlikoCarter11@gmail.com or via Twitter at Kogitare, K-O-G-I-T-A-R-E, if you want to chop it up about basketball, discuss my latest pieces, or anything of the like. While you're on your computers and your phones, make sure you go to LockedOnWarriors.com and bookmark the page. Go to Facebook, Locked On Warriors, Locked On NBA Net. Subscribe, like, and find your Locked On Warriors podcast wherever podcasts are available. iOS, Google Play, we're here. All right, let's get started with the Charlotte Hornets. They've fallen to 12-22, 11th in the Eastern Conference, which is not great. Since Steve Clifford went down, they have Steve Clifford went down with an undisclosed health issue. They haven't been super great. Their offensive rating is 23rd, and their defensive rating is 14th. They can be better in both of those metrics. Their expected win-loss is 15-19, so they've had a tough schedule, but 12-22 is definitely not where this team wanted to be coming into January. This team, as we know, is led by Kemba Walker, who's having another career year, averaging nearly 22 points per game. We'll see if he makes the All-Star team with his team floundering like it is, but he's going to be a handful for either Sean Livingston or Quinn Cook or Pat McCaw to handle. And yeah, he's putting up 17 shots a game. So he's only shooting 42%, but he is getting his shots up. He's assisting the ball six times a game and is making his presence felt on the floor more so than any other Hornet. Dwight Howard is out there scoring 16 points a game and grabbing 12.5 rebounds. So he's going to be a big one to stop. It's unclear how many minutes Zaza is going to get. Against Dwight Howard, he only played 13 minutes in the last game, so you can expect to potentially see a lot of Jordan Bell, some JaVale McGee out there to try to stop Howard, especially on the offensive boards where he grabs almost four a game. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is also big on the offensive boards, as is Cody Zeller, and offensive boards have been one of the few weaknesses that the Warriors have been exhibiting over their last stretch of dominance in the last 10 or 12 games. And this is a talented team. I mean, 12-22 is just not where they thought they would be. But Kemba, Dwight Howard, Jeremy Lamb, and Cody Zeller are all sporting PERs above the average of 15. And Jeremy Lamb specifically is having a very good season. Per 36 minutes, he's averaging 19.5 points, 6.3 rebounds, and 3.4 assists. And he's putting up really good numbers, 45% from the field, 36% from three. And he's not taking too many threes, but he's knocking them down at a reasonable clip and shooting 87% from the line. So he's going to have to be somebody the Warriors will have to watch out for. The Warriors, to their credit, are coming off two really big wins over the Cleveland Cavaliers and then the Utah Jazz. And they've risen to second in defensive rating at a 103.8 points per 100 possessions and are second in offensive rating at 114.1 points per 100 possessions. Omri Caspi sprained his ankle in the last game and his status is uncertain for tonight against the Hornets. And like I said before, no Curry, but he could return Saturday night. So it's once again incumbent on Durant, Thompson, and Green to lead the way along with Andre Iguodala. And Durant has not only put himself firmly into the Defensive Player of the Year conversation, he's averaging 2.3 blocks per game and leading the team, led the team in Draymond's absence defensively, and they've been playing great, great defense. But he's also back in the MVP conversation. He's taking 19 shots a game, making 26 points along with 7 rebounds and 5 assists. He's filling up the stat sheet. He is well on his way to a 50-40-89 season. He's very close to 90% from the line. Klay Thompson, he's also very close to a 50-40-90. He's shooting 48% from the floor, 45% from three, and 900 exactly from the line. So they're going to have to play well offensively and keep their defense measured to make sure that they don't allow Charlotte to get those offensive rebounds and get easy baskets. They're going to have to keep the turnovers to a minimum and just play their game. The Warriors have 9 players above the average of 15 in player efficiency rating, led by Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant. But David West is up there. JaVale McGee is at a 21. Jordan Bell, 20.7. Omri Caspi is there. Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Zsa Pachulia. And what these numbers show is the togetherness of the team, because you don't expect to see JaVale McGee with a 21.0 PER, but it's about who he's playing with when he plays. And that is what makes the Warriors so dangerous, is they're better than the sum of their parts. All right, it's time to go down the Reddit hole, and we're going to start with a little something sad. Avery Bradley has been accused of sexual assault. In a statement, Bradley's people denied the allegation and acknowledged a confidentiality agreement. Mr. Bradley absolutely denies having engaged in wrongdoing whatsoever, said his people. The confidentiality agreement specifically refutes and denies the validity of all allegations of any wrongful conduct by Mr. Bradley. The sole purpose of the agreement was to protect the reputation and privacy of Mr. Bradley and his family. The negotiations for the confidentiality agreement began after the woman contacted Bradley and accused him of assaulting her, as per TMZ. Bradley ultimately paid the woman an undisclosed amount as part of the agreement, and there have been no public statements from the Pistons, who Bradley plays for, or the Celtics, who he was playing for at the time of the alleged assault. And that comes from Redditor DongSquad420BlazeIt. According to Redditor Tony_Delk, IT said he tried to force the Cavs to play him on Wednesday, and they denied him. That comes from Twitter. Joe Varden, who's an NBA reporter for Cleveland.com covering the Cavaliers, And so IT feels like he's ready. And it's not January yet, but he feels like he's ready to play. And so this team is going to get even better. The Cavaliers are going to get even better. And they're going to play him eventually. So that's something to watch out for. I do want to note a mistake from yesterday's podcast. Somebody on Twitter hit me up, DJID4. Sprewell was with the Warriors way before the choke. He played with Mullen and Hardaway. That is correct. I said he was a first-year Warrior. I was wrong. He did play with Mullen and Hardaway and made the playoffs with the Warriors in 1994. DJID4 also notes Zsa is pronounced Zaza per Kareth Burke. I pronounce it Zsa. Mike Breen pronounces it Zsa. And I believe it's just an Americanization of his actual name. He's fine with Zaza, but in Georgia, it's Zsa. So that's what I go with because I have a name that is not the easiest to get. People have trouble with it, and so I try to give people as much leeway as possible in making sure that I pronounce their names correctly. Redditor Vince Jumpman Carter gives us the latest Zach Lowe 10 things I like and don't like. If you have been listening to my podcast, you know I think Zach Lowe is the best basketball writer out there. He starts with the Warriors and Jordan Bell specifically, saying Bell brings a speed and switchability on defense no one else in Golden State's misfit crew of centers can approach. He fits on offense as another cagey ball mover. Trap Durant on the pick and roll, and Bell slips into a 4-on-3 and usually whips the ball to the right place. Lowe goes on, it will be interesting to see how much Steve Kerr trusts Bell in May. Post brutes overpower him, and he's an overeager help defender, sometimes straying too far from dangerous shooters, but he is Golden State's most athletic and talented center. It has been fun to watch the Warriors shapeshift without Curry. They lose the thing that makes their offense special, the greatest shooter ever bobbing and weaving around the floor, bending the defense wherever he goes, but compensate on the other end with gigantic switch-everything lineups. How are you supposed to score against a group of Klay Thompson, Sean Livingston, Andre Iguodala, Durant, and Draymond Green? How are you? I don't know. I don't know how you're supposed to score against that lineup. But, you know, I've been loving Jordan Bell as a crucial piece in the Warriors' new lineup of death, the death toll, where he replaces Stephen Curry and plays with Durant, Green, Thompson, and Iguodala. It's a crazy big lineup that is hard to overmatch. But make sure you check out Lowe's 10 Things I Like and Don't Like on ESPN.com. It's always very good. He breaks down plays and actions in a way that I really just can't. I'm more of a stats guy than an actions guy, but he does educate me on the weekly. LA Times beat reporter Tanya Ganguly reports that the Lakers would trade Jordan Clarkson and Julius Randle if they could. That comes from Redditor, your face, LOL. Randle and Clarkson's situations are different, but they're similar in that the Lakers seem to be eyeing that next season where maybe they can get a Paul George or a LeBron, and they might have to sign and trade to do that. They're not going to make the playoffs this year, but those are two very young players with great upside. They're great trade chips, and they duplicate positions that the Lakers already have on lock. So you could definitely see them making a deal potentially before the end of this season or over the summertime for both of those players. Redditor Swollen Cornholio, who's very active on the Warriors subreddit, gives us a chart from NBA Wowie about how much better most of the team's shooting is with Steph on and KD off and with KD on and Steph off. Most of the players increase with Steph and Curry on, but some players, specifically Zsa, Omri Caspi, JaVale McGee, and Draymond Green, are actually many points better with KD on and Steph off. But it's a really interesting chart, and I definitely recommend you go check that out. Steph definitely has the biggest effect on the team, but KD is still one of the greatest offensive players of all time and changes the court when he's on the court. So it's interesting data to look at. Redditor Kind Fresh posted a story from SF Chronicle about the Splash Mothers and their athletic gifts. Steph's mom and Clay's mom both played college volleyball and were very good. Steph's mom played for Virginia Tech, where she met Steph's dad, Dell, and Julie Thompson played at the University of Portland before transferring to the University of San Francisco and redshirting a season. The article notes that the Splash mothers could have been sisters. They both grew up in athletic families and began to play sports as soon as they could walk. In high school, they were both star sprinters and volleyball players. Sonia Adams, also excelled in basketball. They were both undersized. Julie was a 5'9 outside hitter, and Sonia was a 5'5 setter. They could both leap, but they were not extremely tall for volleyball players. They were both quiet, serious, determined, and self-motivated leaders, and they both met their future husbands in a gym. They also both raised 3-star athletes. Clay has 2 brothers, Trace, an outfielder for the Dodgers, and Michael, who played for the Warriors G League affiliate for a while. Steph's younger brother, Seth, plays for the Mavericks, and his sister, Sidel, was a volleyball star at Elon University. So obviously, these guys have dads who were shooters and champions and really, really great basketball players, but their moms not only gave them a genetic windfall, but also raised them to be killers, and they succeeded. So that was a really cool piece to see. That's this week's trip down the Reddit hole. There's so much more to dig into. Make sure you go to reddit.com/rnba, reddit.com/rwarriors every day, because that's where the real awesome tidbits can be found. All right, we're going to go around the NBA, and we're going back to the Rockets, who now have the longest active losing streak in the NBA at 4 games. Great news for the Warriors. And on Reddit, there's actually a full sequence of Harden kind of giving the ball away. That's on Reddit NBA, where he runs over Marcus Smart and gets an offensive foul, and then does it again after Al Horford makes the game-winning shot on the other end. That comes from Redditor Siriate, and it really did feel like Harden kind of choked. He put up really ill-advised shots late in the game, just trying to win it by himself on an array of moves out by the three-point line. He was chucking, and that really isn't how the Rockets... They rely on him to chuck occasionally, but late in the game like that, you've got to move the ball around and get a better shot than what he was trying to get. And then he just knocks over Marcus Smart twice. You could tell that his frustration was boiling over. Like, you got to go around him. You can't go through him. And that costs him the game. The Rockets are on NBA TV tonight against the Wizards. The Wizards at 19-16 are playing some of their best ball of the season with John Wall healthy. And it should be a good game to watch, so stay tuned for that one. Also, the Milwaukee Bucks play the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight at 5 Pacific. The Bucks are 18-15, the Thunder are 20-15, and that will be a great game. The Thunder have been playing extremely well. They beat the Rockets on Christmas Day. They're on a 6-game winning streak, and they're looking to make it 7 against the Bucks. They're going to be at home in Oklahoma City. And the Bucks have some wins over the NBA's best teams, too. They've beaten Boston, Cleveland, San Antonio, but they've also lost to Dallas and lost twice to Chicago. And they're playing on a second night of a back-to-back. It's two teams that have been up and down, and you don't really know what you're going to get from them on a night-to-night basis, but you're going to get talent, which is why this game is a must-watch. Now we're going to take a look at the standings. As I mentioned, Golden State is back on top with a record of 28-7, followed by Houston at 25-8. In third place is San Antonio, 25-11. Minnesota, 22-14. In fourth, in fifth is Oklahoma City at 20-15. Denver, Portland, and New Orleans round out the top eight. And there's a big drop-off after that. The Clippers are 5 games below 500. The Utah Jazz are 6 games below 500. And if you were to look at any team that might have a chance to get back into that top 8, I would bet on Utah. But right now, it's New Orleans in that 8th spot and Portland in the 7th. In the East, we've got Boston in first at 29-10, they're floundering. Toronto at 23-10 is second. They have a ton of games in hand, so they have plenty of games to either win or lose in their chase to catch up to Boston. Cleveland is 24-11 and third. In fourth is Detroit at 19-15. Milwaukee is 18-15. In fifth, Washington is 19-16, as well as Indiana. And then in eighth, Miami is 18-16. The Eastern Conference is not as settled as the Western Conference. The Knicks are 17-18 in the ninth spot, and Philadelphia is 15-19. Both of those teams have a great chance of getting back into the top eight by February. Miami is a surprise. They always just play well despite their dearth of talent. They're so well coached, and they play defense together. So nobody really wants to see them make the playoffs because they're not that exciting to watch. They can be with Goran Dragic and Dion Waiters along with Hassan Whiteside, but I'd much rather see the Knicks and Philadelphia in there than Miami and potentially Indiana. That's just from a watchability standpoint. But Indiana has been playing extremely well, playing above expectations, and as goes Victor Oladipo, so goes his team. So we're going to see if he can keep this all-star caliber year going. But tonight the Warriors play Charlotte down in the depths of the Eastern Conference at 12-22. That's my pod for the day. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast. Go to Facebook, Locked On NBA Net, and like that page. And I'll talk to you on Monday. Stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.